I remember growing up that when I was going around with one of my buddies, we called him Gas Man Johnson. And when you're in high school and you can't drive, you depend on somebody else to drive you around. And Waverly had a A&W root beer stand. And of course, how do you spend your evenings when you're a young person at high school age? Well, you cruise and you drive around the A&W root beer stand. It's a wonder the pavement wasn't worn out. Most of you remember those places you cruised around and did that kind of a thing. But we would pay, Steve Johnson was his name, and he's still a guy that's battling prostate cancer, and so you might remember him in your prayers. But we'd give him a quarter back in the days when you could basically buy a gallon of gas for pretty close to that. And he had a three-speed on the column, two-toned black and yellow Plymouth. I think it was a 1951 Plymouth. And so we would cruise around town, and that's how we would spend our evenings and everything. So you think about those times, and you think about the situations of the past and those people that have influenced you in the past. And Steve's a child of God, and one of those things that he wasn't at that time wasn't a child of God. And he happened to meet a young Christian woman who was a child of God, who had faith in the Lord and came to the Lord eventually and still serving him today. Brian, I appreciate your spirit, and Megan, I think, is blessed. And I can just, a lot of times when you not that you go out and you size people up, but one thing that's important when you interact with people is you look at their behavior, you look at their demeanor, you look at how they present themselves and the manner in which they present themselves. Some of us are more soft and as it were, gentle in demeanor. Others are loud and out there like this all the time, maybe, or maybe we're loud and soft and whatever. But we are who we are, and God accepts us. That's why the song, Just As I Am, through the years, I think, has been such a powerful song, because it gives the message that God accepts us on the basis of who we are, but He doesn't want to leave us that way. And that is the message, of course, of reconciliation. That's the message of transformation. That's the message of change about what God wants to do in our lives. We've been looking at this theme series, as it were, Run the Mile You're In. I mentioned that book about Ryan Hall, who basically was the world record holder in the half marathon. And Ryan is very much inspirational. And this week we want to look at something that he talks about in his life, because it's extremely important for us in our life as well. And when you think about what it is in our life that we're looking at the idea of faith. One of the things that is significant, this is my prop this morning, okay, a book. And the title of the book happens to be, It's All Relatives. It's All Relative. In the midst of what's happening right now, it's amazing, because I ran across this book. And the subtitle of this book is Adventures Up and Down the World's Family Tree. And if you'd like to see the front of this, I'll share it with you today. But it is a superimposing, as it were, of what looks like a tree and the roots and the trunk and the branches of the tree. And of course, the roots and the trunk and the branches of the tree, if you look closely at the cover of the book, are people. And in the midst of the crisis we are in today, I've already shared this, I'm going to continue to share it in my own personal life. However you choose to share it in your own life, it's this message from Acts 17, verse 26. God has made of one all nations of the earth. My message is, when I look at people, I'm looking at people not on the basis of the tone of their skin, but on the basis of the presupposition and the idea that I believe and I want to convey to other people, that it is God who is behind all the people of the earth. God is the Creator. He created male and female, and everybody ever since, based on the idea of the DNA that is in our bodies, reflects that particular manifestation of the creation of God. Why take that approach? Because it starts with the one who's behind it all, God. You see, it's either God or it's matter. To me, it's very simple. It's one of two things. And if there's no God, then and matter is eternal, it really doesn't matter how you treat other people. It really doesn't matter. There's no standard of behavior. And we're seeing that manifested today throughout the world, not only our nation, but all over the rest of the world, in how people treat other people, because there is no standard as far as these people are concerning themselves and other people that is absolute. Absolute in its nature. And so we believe in absolute truth. We believe in the absolute truth of God. You might say to yourself, well, Dean, how's your faith? Why would you ask such a question? You know, as I'm looking out at you and you're looking at me, that we are people that would be considered people of faith. And why raise the question? Well, do you think about your faith? I do. I think we all think about our faith. I think we think about the status of our faith. I think we think about where our faith is right now. I think about, and you think about, I think, what's happening to my faith and my faith in these troubling times. How do you start your day? Do you have an alarm clock? Are you one of those people that's got an automatic, inbuilt alarm clock? I don't set the alarm. Marcia set the alarm this morning, and it went off, and by the way, I went in and turned it off. Now, I'm not being negative about Marcia getting up. She was already up, but, you know, sometimes when she gets up, and I just go in and I slide that little button there, and it, you know, because the thing is, you know, by that time the TV's on and the alarm radio's on too, and so you got the both things going, whatever. And that doesn't bother me. I'm just trying to go in and be nice to her and do something kind of, you know, as a husband would do, kind of go in. She's smiling. I don't know. Maybe she has different thoughts about that whole procedure. I don't know. But I remember many years ago getting up. And I remember getting up in the morning in Jackson, Ohio. And there was a program that came on that started the day on the local radio station. And that radio program was headquartered as far as its production out of Nashville, Tennessee. As I remember, it was entitled Power for Today. Oh, for a faith that will not bring though pressed by every foe, that will not tremble on the brink of any earthly woe. So here you are in bed and everything. It's almost like, you know, it's blasting out. I mean, it was a good starting, right? But the reason why I thought about that song this morning was this. We will look at this song specifically. I guess I ought to put the words up there. Pressed by every foe and faith that will not shrink, not tremble on the brink of any earthly woe. We're in a time to me that was, the words of this song were so appropriate where we are right now. And then the second stanza, that we'll not murmur or complain beneath a chastening rod. You see, God does chasten us, but in the hour of grief or pain, we'll lean upon our God. A faith that shines more bright and clear when tempests rage without, when in danger knows no fear, in darkness fears no doubt. We're in a period of time where we're scared sometimes, we're afraid sometimes, and we kind of doubt about what's happening sometimes, but the reality is that we're leaning on our faith in God. And then, Lord, give us such a faith as this. And then whatever may come, we'll taste even here the hallowed bliss of an eternal home. You see, we're tasting eternal life right now. And we're going to have it continually beyond this life. You know, what did Jesus say? He says, as this morning we already had shared, Brian, that what? God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son that whoever keeps on believing Him would have, you know, has eternal life. So it's a possession now. It's something we have now. And we have it the beginning now. We have it the continuing now. And we're going to have it beyond the grave in an eternal way. So, some scriptures that are kind of familiar. So what is faith? What is faith? I want to share something with you this morning that I believe, number one, is biblical. Number two that I believe will, because it has changed the way I look at faith. And I think if you look at it in this respect, that it will change the way your faith operates in your life and mine. So faith is the substance of things hoped for. The word substance there means confidence, or it shows the reality. Faith is the substance or the confidence of things hoped for, shows the reality of things hoped for, the assurance of things hoped for, the evidence, that is, the conviction or certainty or proof of things not seen. So the conviction of things not seen, the certainty of things not seen, the proof of things not seen. And so faith is something that is very dynamic and very powerful in our lives. And we look at it in relationship to what it is. I couldn't find out where I found this quote. It's something I wrote in my Bible. But I think it describes what faith is in a very dynamic way in our lives. Number one, you'll notice here, it's the idea of knowing. Okay? That something is going to happen that we haven't seen yet, knowing that something is happening even though we do not now necessarily see it. Faith is that ongoing, progressive, happening thing that's going on all the time in our lives. We operate on the basis of faith. It's not a static thing, even though we think of faith somewhat as a concrete thing, as a standard thing. If you ask somebody, do you have faith? It's like, yes, I have faith. But I'm faithing all the time. Do you ever think of that idea? Maybe that's the different concept, that I'm faithing all the time. Because that's really the concept of you're trusting all the time, you're believing all the time, you're faithing all the time. And specifically, when we look at faith, and the writer of Hebrews tells us that we need it and we want it. I remember one of our young men from Piketon comes back several times to the church there. And when he comes back, he did a twofold series. Number one, he did a series on Hebrews 11 verse 1. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And he did one lesson on that. The next time he came back, he did the lesson on Hebrews 11 verse 6. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. For the one that wants to please God must believe that He exists, and that He's a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. We did the Wednesday night thing. Some of you are able to access that. And if you were, just one thing I want to say about that. When you look at Matthew chapter 6, one thing you notice is when Jesus talks in Matthew chapter 6, He talks about when we give. He says, don't be the person that goes out here and says, hey, man, I want you to see how much I'm putting in the plate here. Hey, I want you to see how much I'm doing for my neighbor here. Hey, I want you to know this category of all these good works that I've done and everything. And here's my whole list of them and everything. And it's a display. It's an external display. But then he goes on, you, when you give, don't let your left hand know what your right hand's doing. This anonymous nature of how you give. I was blessed to serve with a leader in the church in Virginia, one church there. One of the members there had his own company. He had a patent that he had. He became a very rich man because of that patent. He gave. The left hand didn't know what the right hand was doing. He gave not only thousands of dollars, he gave hundreds of thousands of dollars without being known as a person that gave that. And the reason why I knew that is because I was very close to him as a person. And it wasn't a pompous thing. In fact, his shirts were kind of threadbare. You ever see anybody where the collars are just, they've worn them so far that the threads are showing there, and you think, well, why don't you buy a new shirt? Well, this one works fine. Why do you need another one? That's the kind of person he was. The left hand didn't know what the right hand was doing. And then Jesus talks about praying, and he says, well, go into your closet and pray. Don't go out here on the street corners and say, hey, everybody out here, I'm out here praying and everything. I want you to see how holy I am. Amen. Amen. And they're out there praying. And then he talks about fasting. We can fast in a lot of ways. It's just not food that we can fast from. We can fast from poor cash management. We can fast from being too busy to study the Word of God to studying the Word of God and fast from our busyness. And we can fast from food, yes. But in all three cases, there's the word that's really critical in all three of those cases is this particular word. The negative, all three cases, they've already received their reward. These pompous showers out in public that do all these things to be seen of people, they've already had the reward. But if you operate in the realm of giving and praying and fasting like I want you to operate, you're receiving your reward from me. And when this young man preached this second lesson, Hebrews 11, verse 6, he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Have you been rewarded this week? Did you ever stop to think of that? I don't often think of that. But did you look at this week and everything you've been engaged in this week in your faith and your exercise in your faith this week? Have you been rewarded? Amen. I'd say amen. Yes, I think we have been. Praise God for that. It's not like we're standing around and we're waiting around. Well, Lord, the day's over here. I don't see how I've been rewarded yet. No, it's not that at all. There's a built-in, as it were, benefit in just serving God every day in terms of what we're already enjoying as we exercise our faith with Him. Faith is God's divine persuasion. If there's one thing that I want to try to convey today to you and to me, it's this thought. Because the word faith comes from a Greek word that means persuade or to be persuaded. Think about that for a second. What does in the Bible, the very creation, male and female, everything out there that we see every day, the revelation of nature, the revelation of the Word of God, the things that are happening in our life every day, and that's all a part of what? God trying to persuade us. I don't know if you like that idea or not, but that's behind the word faith. That everything that God has done in His creation and His written Word is designed. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the earth shows His handiwork day unto day utter speech, and night unto night knowledge that God is speaking in through creation, as His creation, He's speaking to us. And then in His Word, He's speaking to us. For what purpose? Though that we are persuaded of Him behind it all. Though we're persuaded through His creation that all things bright and beautiful, creatures great and small, all things wild and wonderful, the Lord God made them all. Boy, I tell you, that speaks to me. You see, it wasn't the written word, though I heard it preached many, many times from the time I was young and I memorized those verses in Bible class and heard all those sermons and the gospel meetings came and the preachers would look at me and I'd think they're looking at me. And they were, because they knew I needed to become a child of God. And so they were trying to say, hey, you know, this lesson applies to you. I didn't like that. I like that. I felt singled out, and maybe I was singled out, but that's okay. You know, Jesus singled out a lot of people. He singled out 12 guys, didn't He? But every time we go somewhere, this woman that had an issue of blood, He kind of singled her out, and the guy was up in the tree, Zacchaeus, the little man up in the tree, He kind of singled him out too, didn't He? Did you ever feel singled out by God? Because God so loved me and you, we put our name in there, don't we? It's an individualistic thing that God has. And when I read this and the background of this word of faith, and know that that Greek word for faith comes from this idea to persuade or to be persuaded. God is in the persuading business. He always has been. He always will be. And He's appealing to us through this avenue of faith that we respond to Him. He's the initiator. It says Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. He's the one that starts it all. He's the one that completes it. That's who Jesus is. Looking unto Jesus, the originator, the author, the finisher, the completer, the perfecter of our faith, as it were. So, faith. It's God's divine persuasion. It's God's divine initiative. Sometimes when we think of faith, we think of faith as something that is a manufacturing by the human mind. That it is conjured up or brought up or originated in the human mind. It is not. It's not. It's all of God. God makes possible faith. And when you look at the scripture that we read earlier on this morning, what? John 3:16, it's the giving of God so loved that He gave His only begotten Son. John 14, verse 1, you believe in God, believe also in Me. Jesus was appealing to them to have that receiving, as it were, not only of God, which the Jews already had, and He was dealing with them, but He was also saying, receive Me as well. Because I came in the flesh, and you can behold My glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And then John 17, verse 3, this is eternal life, that they may know You, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom He has sent. Here Jesus is getting ready to go to the cross. And what does He say? Father, I pray they may know You, the only true God. All these other gods in the world that people talk about throughout history and everything, forget about them all. There's only one, and there's only one true God. And I want them also to know about Jesus Christ, whom You've sent. And then Paul said, the gospel, I'm not ashamed of it. We are in an age, in a state right now, in a situation in America where to stand up as a child of God is potentially somebody trying to shame us. Christianity is being beaten down today in America. It's being challenged in America today. You're a bunch of fanatics. You look down on other people. You criticize other people. You judge other people. We're in the business of trying to help people to be saved, not to be lost. We're in the business of trying to help people to live the best life in the world that can ever be lived, because God wants the best for people. If you do your best for the Lord, He'll do the best for you. That's what the theme of the Bible is, among other things. But Paul said the gospel, the good news. NBC this morning. Most of the program devoted to the issue of the day. We're sensitive to the issue of the day. And the issue of the week. The issue of the last 2 weeks. The issue of the last 1863. The issue of the last 400 years. And what's our response to that issue? God made us from one, He made all nations of the earth. And though we look at the issue has its solution not in social change, not in all these other things that are being promoted, because yes, a lot of these things do need to happen. Yes, people do need to change their minds about how they look at other people and the injustices. Yes, those things need to be addressed, but beyond that, if we don't look at people beyond the tone of their skin, we'll never get past racism. And as long as we promote one race, that's what we want to plant in the minds of people, because that is God-centered, God-oriented, God-originated, God-created. And that is the message, as much as any message, of the gospel. The gospel is the power of God to salvation. And that's part of it. But it's central to it. Then Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And Then Romans 12, verse 3, Paul says, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but think of yourself with sober judgment according to the measure of faith. According to the measure of faith God has given you. So you got faith, right? Did you come up with it? Measure of faith that God has given you. I don't know if this characterization speaks to you or not. Have you had a checkup with a divine audiologist lately? I mean, there's a lot of ways we can describe God, but when it talks about faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God, God, the article, the bulletin article and everything, all the seven churches, what did God say? The one that has ears, let him hear what God says to the churches. Let him hear, let him hear, let him hear. Hear, 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 hear. Okay? In Ephesians 2, 8 through 10, we are saved by grace through faith, that ourselves is a gift of God. Well, what's the gift of God? Is it salvation? Okay. How about grace? How about faith? Now, we all sometimes talk about, when I get to heaven, I'm going to ask God about some things. You know, we all... Has anybody here never said that in your mind or in your speech? I think we've all said that. We say, well, I get to heaven, I'm going to ask God about some things. Well, in this passage, we get to heaven. Well, God is the gift. Is it salvation? Is it grace? Is it faith? Yes. You ever have one of those statements somebody makes to you when you offer them alternatives and they say yes? You think, well, that didn't give me the specific answer I want. Well, based on my understanding of what faith's all about, I think that's the answer. I think that's the answer. Okay? And then we're not of works in terms of our salvation. We don't come to our faith by saying, well, Lord, I've done all this and all this and all this, and this is where faith is. No, faith is not the works we do. Works flow out of faith. The work of God in us and the trust in God and the belief in God we have generates, because what does it say? So that no one can boast, for we are God's workmanship, created, notice, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Well, you're doing all these things I see you doing, and you know, I really appreciate you as a child of God, and I see your life every day, and I notice some of the things you do for other people, and it's impressive to me, all these things that I see happening in your life. And we compliment people. We should compliment them for the faith they have in the Lord. But God's in that creating. Everything that's happening there, the creation of God is still going on. You see, one of the mistakes we make when we look at the Bible, and people look at the Bible sometimes, they say, well, God created it all, and then the deists like Thomas Jefferson, they said, yeah, God just created all, and He just left it here, and He said, hey, I'm out of here. That's a deist position. God just left things to go on their own. But Scripture says that if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. And Scripture says here that God has intended and is intending to create in us good works in our life as well. Are you adding to your faith? I'm not going to go into reading this passage, but Peter chapter 1, I'd encourage you to read it, verses 8 through 1 through 8. I call it your existential experience, okay? Live it and love it. Clarence, I think you and I talked about this word, didn't we, one time? Existential. I think we did, maybe we didn't. Maybe this is just my figment of my mind up here thinking about that. I read that word for many years. I thought, what in the world is existential? That's one of those words that, you know, 50-cent word to throw around. I want to tell you about my existential experience. Wow. Are you up there on cloud nine trying to communicate with me and you're using the word existential? Keith, I think you used that word when you were doing your studies and everything, and you explained what existential was. And what is existential? That's the idea here, E-X-I-S-T. Exist. As we exist, and as we live by faith, we're experiencing what God has given us as a gift. Faith. He's persuading us. He continues to persuade us, and every day we're persuaded. We read this passage, Psalm 24 today, and we're persuaded. We read John 15, verse 13, greater love has no one than this. They lay down their lives for their friends, their enemies, whoever. Greater sacrifice no one has than this. We're persuaded. It's all a matter of faith in you and I. And so faith is a gift. But you got to be willing to receive the gift. Face the gift. You get something somebody gives to you? Here. I'm not going to give this to Brian because I haven't finished reading it yet. If he wants it later on, I'll give it to him, okay? He may not want to read it. I don't know. I haven't read it all yet, and I don't know where this guy's coming from on every way he's on all of his cylinders that he's in this book, eight-cylinder book image or whatever. I don't know. If this guy's running on one cylinder or eight cylinders in this book, but I'll find out. But we're gifted, and because we're gifted, what does faith do? Faith goes about giving. And we are saved, and therefore we go about saying. We know one true God in Jesus Christ whom He has sent, and therefore we go about growing, and then we go about showing and glowing in the world because let your light so shine before people. They may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Faith is God's divine persuasion. That's how I want you to see faith today. We're not almost persuaded, like the Song of Invitation sometimes says. We are persuaded as the children of God. And we continue to be persuaded. And we sit down and read these Psalms, or we sit down and read any passage of Scripture. And over in 2 Peter chapter 1, when it talks about knowledge, there's two words in the Greek for knowledge, and one is G-N-O-S-I-S. Just simply, that's like the word from which we get agnostic. But A in front of agnostic means they don't know. This one guy I'm reading right now, 12 Rules for Life, and he says he doesn't know if he's an atheist or he's an agnostic. But you know, agnostic says, in essence, I don't know if I believe in God or not. That's basically what an agnostic says. But when Peter talks about knowing in 2 Peter chapter 1, and to know, it's the head idea, but then there's a little epi in front of it, which is like an upon thing. It's like that existential thing. It's like what happens every day. And what that indicates in 2 Peter chapter 1, when it talks about our knowledge of God, it's talking about how if we add to these things, if we add to faith, virtue, and all the other things he talks about there in 2 Peter chapter 1, he says we'll have this increasing experience of faith with God and knowing Him. And that word indicates experience. We experience the work of God in our lives as we live by faith. And we live by faith. We are persuaded by God every single day to just keep trusting, keep believing. A buddy of mine that died in this last year, Bill Butterfield, came to Warrenton, Virginia years ago, held a meeting there. Preached a series of lessons. All I remember is this. Whole series of lessons. Keep on believing. Keep on believing. Keep on being persuaded. Keep on trusting God. Keep on having faith in God because of what He's doing and creating in you and I every single day. To me, that's the message of faith. Our faith, your faith, we corporately together as a faith, and how we illustrate it every day. If you have a need today, you know, the Bible talks about all degrees of faith. You know, sometimes we may feel like we got a little faith in this situation. Other times we may feel like we've got a lot of faith in this situation. Think about it this way. Maybe we've got a little persuasion and a great amount of persuasion, or increasing persuasion in a matter in terms of how we're serving God. That's what faith finds itself doing every day, because faith is spelled, as I received a message many years ago, KMOI, Des Moines, Iowa, and listened to this program late into the night from a guy in Miracle Valley, Arizona, Don Stewart, and he had this lesson, and the lesson was entitled, Faith is Spelled D-O, and it is, but it's God's doing in us that makes it all happen. So we're going to sing a song of encouragement now. If you have any need to respond anyway or request in any way, let it be known as we stand and as we sing.